A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to that place, and when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. He lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, 'Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back.' Which of these 3, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim?" He answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Good morning. Peace be with you. Thank you. J. Pervert Richardson, in his book, Life and Literature, asked the question, "Please tell me, what was the name of the Good Samaritan?" A more important question than what was the name of the Good Samaritan would be, is my name synonymous with his? Is my name synonymous with that of the Good Samaritan? Jesus tells this parable to answer the question of who my neighbor is, the question that the scribe wanted to justify his own life, the question for which begged, how do we inherit the heavenly kingdom? Jesus tells the story because it's important for all of us to understand that the law itself does not bring righteousness unless it is transposed into action. When Jesus was told that his mother and his brothers, his cousins, were outside, when he was preaching in the temple, he asked the question, "Who is my mother? Who is my brother and sister? Who is my disciple?" "The one who hears my word and keeps it." Deuteronomy tells us that we know the law. It's not somewhere up there. It's on our lips and in our hearts. And we must act upon it. That's what Jesus means when he says keeping his word is to transpose it into action. And that action has to be, as the scribe answers, mercy. When we look at the parable, there are 4 parts. We are always caught up in the work of the Good Samaritan for which we should be. For that is where we find our call to discipleship. We recognize that in the Good Samaritan, there is a necessity to bring mercy to others. But the rest of the parable is just as important.
We see the two, the priest and the Levite, who ignore totally the man who has fallen victim to robbers. Because according to the law, they must remain clean on their way to the temple. And to remain justified before God, to be seen as righteous, to receive his blessings, the law always trumped everything else. The neighbor was simply anyone who was exactly like them. The extent of mercy would not go to such a man who laid half dead beside the road. The second part, I think, is the part that we ignore the most, but yet it is the most significant part of this parable and Jesus' answer of discipleship. And that is that he fell victim to robbers who stripped him and left him half dead. The robbers are sin and our broken nature and the consequences of sin. And how often we fall victim to those robbers of our own sins or the circumstances of our human condition, and what is our life is taken from us. Our health, the capacity of our mind, our livelihood, even our emotional stability, and most and foremost of things that we're afraid to be taken from us is our human life when the hour of death comes. All of us will find ourselves and have found ourselves as the victim who's fell into the robbers of sin in our human condition. And when we see the victim, then we recognize that the victim desires only one thing, and that is to be restored back to fullness of life. When Jesus sent out the further 72, he told them, go restore everyone to the fullness of life, right? That's what he said, because he said, go heal the sick, cast out demons who take away our mental and our emotional capacity, and even our hope and faith, and preach them the good news. Allow them to know that even as they walk this journey, they're not alone, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The restoration to the fullness of life. The one who brings that is synonymous to the Good Samaritan. Is the good neighbor, is the one who acts as a disciple of mercy. He's the one who finds those who lay across the road half dead, and with the heart of Christ brings them compassion. With the soul of Christ, forgiveness. And with the strength of Christ, the desire to walk side by side, sharing in their pain and giving them strength on the way. The two silver coins remind us of what Peter said to the beggar who sat outside the temple. Peter says, neither gold or silver do I have, but what I have I give you, Jesus Christ, and in his name stand and walk. That's what we leave when we preach the good news. A mercy that affects and continues to transpose a life of the law into the life of a disciple. So what should be our mission this weekend? When we listen to this parable, I think first and foremost it is that we should not be concerned with what was the name of the Good Samaritan, but is our name synonymous to it, to that of a disciple, to one who brings mercy. We may not know the name of the Good Samaritan, but we do know the name of the first robber and those who tended to him. Jesus was the first one, because of sin and broken nature, who was fallen in victim. He was stripped of everything on his way to Calvary. And it was Mary, the Blessed Virgin. It was Veronica. It was Simon, who ministered mercy to him. When Jesus needed that heartfelt love, Veronica wiped his face. When he needed to be sure of the mission that his soul was driven to do the Father's will, his mother reminded him, comforted him, and gave him resolve. And when the cross, the physical cross, became too heavy for him to bear, it was Simon who picked it up and walked with him. So let us allow our name to be synonymous with those who tended to the first one who fell victim to the robbery of our lives. When you come forward to receive communion and you go back to your place, pray first for the gift of faith. The faith of knowing that being a good Samaritan, a neighbor, a disciple of mercy crosses all bounds of race, color, and creed, and especially across the boundary of sin. Because everybody deserves to be made full again in their human condition. Secondly, ask for the gift of hope, because hope is what allows us to walk under the weight of the cross of another when even we give them a compassionate heart, our own forgiveness, our own words of truth, and they're still burdened with fear and anxiety. And finally, ask for the gift of charity. Ask to be able to love more like the Good Samaritan each and every day, so that the law that has touched your hearts and lips is transposed into the action of discipleship for those who desire to inherit eternal life. And I promise I will do the same.